Today, brothers, when you come together, we'll talk more about this next time, but when you come together, everyone has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All these must be done for the strengthening of the church. If anyone speaks in tongues two, or at the most three, should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. And so, and then jump to verse 40. And we'll cover the rest of this next time, but it says, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. So Paul gives very clear guidelines for tongues. There have been friends of mine here in this church, very wise and godly. They said, Mark, if you crack this door on the tongues thing, it can just get nuts and get crazy. I said, well, wait a second. All we have to do is just follow what Paul's saying here. Just follow the guidelines here of 1 Corinthians 14, and there's like nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. I'll talk more about that in just a second. But the bottom line in the application here is that we avoid extremism on this issue. Like I said in the beginning, we can be driven to two extremes. The one extreme is the anti-tongues extreme. If you speak in tongues, it's bogus, all right? And you're not welcome in this church. If you believe in tongues, you're not welcome in this church. There are people that believe that in churches. I mean, you can get kicked out of the church faster for speaking in tongues than stealing from the offering. That's where some people are at. That's obviously is an extreme. Now, where do they get this from? Scripture? Just quickly, one example of where this whole anti-tongues thing is built is the last chapter, 13, verse 8, which says, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they'll be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Verse 12, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And with all due respect, there are people in the cessation camp, and they believe that the perfect here, when the perfect comes, then the imperfect disappears. That's tongues. They believe the perfect is when the Bible was finished. Okay, now it was a great day there at the end of the first century when the Bible was finished. A great day. But I just can't believe that that's what this text is talking about. Because it goes to the face-to-face. And that there'll come that day when we are fully known and we know fully. I mean, I've got the Bible right now, but I don't know everything. Right? So in that sense, the perfect hasn't come. I think the perfect is when we're with the Lord and Revelation 21 and 22 and the new heaven and the new earth. That to me is the perfect, not today. Again, with all due respect, I just can't see an anti-tongues position based on those verses. Now, some would say, well, Mark, look at history. Tongues went dormant throughout certain parts of church history, and that's true. We've got to be careful building an argument on church history because other things went dormant, like the priesthood of believers, right? You know what else went dormant? The doctrine of grace. So does that mean it's not for today? No, we should defend the legitimacy of this gift. Who are we to tell God that he can no longer give this gift to somebody? I've got good friends in this church who have this, and I just don't want them to feel ashamed of it or like they've got to, you know, not tell anybody. Again, don't ask, don't tell. And Paul says in verse 39, don't forbid to speak in tongues. But there's a clear order and guidelines that he gives to us here. So this is a very divisive issue when you're an anti-tongues extremist and you say, you know what you're doing is bogus. That's pretty divisive, you know. Now I know that there are some out of control, and I just mentioned a few, tongues situations that are not authentic. I know there are other religions that speak in tongues. There were tongue-speaking groups in the pagan religions here in Corinth in the first century. I know that there's a demonic element in some tongues, but that doesn't mean that biblical tongues is not legitimate. There's a demonic element in some teaching. You can take any of the gifts and Satan will twist it and counterfeit it. Okay, so that's the one extreme position. The other extreme position is the all must speak in tongues extremists. That every Christian can and should speak in tongues. That it's a sign of the baptism of the Spirit. That the only way that you can really be a super Christian is if you have tongues and you've got the baptism of the Spirit in your life. Well, I think it's wrong on both accounts, on two accounts. One, 1 Corinthians